Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another very interesting show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click, tag, and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking about the mistakes some of the candidates have made that may cost them the election. We're going to hone in on candidate Matty Parker, who's in the mayor's race, Jared Williams, who's in District 6, Pamela Bogus, who's in District 9, Elizabeth Beck, who's in District 9, Italia Dela Cruz, who's in District 6, and Gina Bivens, who's in District 5. There's an old saying that says, be careful for nothing. Translation, watch your mouth and your actions. That said, some of the candidates have done and said things that they may not be able to recover from. So tonight, we're talking about it. Get your Coke and your popcorn, because it's about to go down. That said, let's talk Fort Worth. I see Christopher's on the line. Good evening, Christopher. I see Adrian. Good evening.
Good evening.
And y'all heard the intro.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Right. Y'all heard the intro. And so, just to be clear, there's a lot going on in these races. But one thing you have to know, that when you are running there are certain things you can and can't do if you want to appear to be above board, if you want to be, you know, someone who's considered honest and, you know, someone trustworthy. So we're talking about that and some other things, other mistakes that candidates make. Let's start with Elizabeth Beck. Just a few minutes ago, a light bulb went off about Elizabeth Beck, and I added her to the lineup. And initially, Elizabeth Beck, I wasn't even coming for you tonight. But something reminded me of the night that she broke quorum. We forgot that. Remember how there was one speaker left in a public comment session, and that was Bob Willoughby, which literally, for translation, for anybody who may be in the back of the room, that means there was 3 minutes left in the public comments because Bob Willoughby was the absolute final speaker. And as he got ready to approach the podium, Elizabeth Beck got up, left the room, which meant that due to the absence of a number of other other council people, that meant that her absence, with her leaving, left them in what they call a broke quorum, which means that according to the city, you know, rules, you can't do business without having at least five members, or is it five or six, members up there. And she broke quorum, causing Bob not to be able to speak. So literally we're talking 3 minutes left in the comment section, and she in the comment portion of the public comments, and she left. Do you all remember when that happened?
I was there, Carrie. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You were there. Okay. Tell us what happened, Adrian. You were there.
Oh, basically, Gina Bivens was in her mayor pro tem term, or however they say it. Mm-hmm. She was in her, she was in her mayor role, put it like that. So, you know, we came into it, did our usual public comment meeting, and at the beginning of the public comment, you noticed it was the Henley Neighborhood Association. They were on a tirade. They were already locked and loaded, and they basically went in on Bob Willoughby. And the last gentleman, I don't know his name, the one gentleman who's always, he always writes heels out, and he gets real nasty with it. I think he's one of the last ones that spoke. Of course, a couple of more other people spoke, just not that there wasn't a part of that group. And like you stated, right before, because I know they knew the order, you know, they know the order. They just called names according to the order. Elizabeth Beck, Bob wasn't even up. I think the last speaker was still speaking. And she got up and she tipped out. And then right before.
Last speaker, the speaker before Bob.
Yeah, the speaker. Right? Yeah, the speaker before. That's what I was referencing. Yeah, the speaker before Bob. He was, that individual was finishing up, and she got up right as that person was finishing up. She walked out, and then right as they called Bob Willoughby, next speaker Bob Willoughby. Who was it? The lawyer? Oh no! Wait! Hold on! I think we broke the quorum. Something. I think it was Gina. She made it, and then she got the lawyer. Miss Leanne?
Read the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she got her to explain the procedures and whatnot, and they adjourned adjourned the meeting. Bivens said, well, the quorum is broken. We have five. We need six or something, blah, blah, blah. So this meeting's officially over, and then, you know, we just went into a little erupted in there.
Well, I agree. And Bob was standing at the podium, and Bob just got on the line, so y'all know we got to hear from Bob. But remember, Bob was standing there saying, so I can't speak? Like he was confused about what they had just done. As a matter of fact, we're going to ask Bob what happened. Hold on. Chris, hold on. We just got to hear this from Bob. Hey, Bob. Bob Willoughby.
Hello. Are we there?
Hey. Tell us about the night they broke quorum just so you couldn't speak.
Well, you know, I just happened to turn into your show on the internet. I was going to sit back and listen to that and work on some stuff here, and all of a sudden I heard my name come up, and I said, oh, wow, my ears are burning. So, but, yeah, that was interesting. It's just one of those childish things they do, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of them, you know. Not only that, the other night a while back, they the little 30-second button that goes off, the little bell that gives you 30 seconds, they didn't play that for me. All of a sudden, Maddie says, your time's over. So they pull all kind of little stunts they can down there, but you know, that's we got to get past that, and we got to get some new people in. We got to get some adults in and get forward. And what I was kind of curious about was what they were speaking about at the last council meeting. I think Adrian spoke on it too. I'm not sure on the that east side of Fort Worth does not exist on the map.
Right. And do you know what?
Do you know what I'm talking about by any chance?
Yeah, we do. We're talking about that they were it was not on the tourism map. But we're not on there.
And
we're going a different direction tonight.
I just wanted to give a quick comment on that, and then I'll get off of that real quick. Okay. I was going to say, why don't you leave it off, and let's have our own council. We can have an east and west Fort Worth, kind of like a north and south Dakota, huh?
Wow.
Okay, I just want to make that. Why don't you just leave it off, and let's just create our own council and do it, huh? I'm sorry, I'm going to go a different direction on you. But anyway, get back on your topic.
Let me ask you specifically, though. That happened to you. So as Adrian stated, they had let the people from the area that Hanley. You're in. No, he's not in Hanley. You're in what is it called? Your neighborhood association.
John T. White. John T. White.
John T. White. Okay.
So
my
apologies, Hanley. Right. You're right. You got them wrong. It was the John T. White Neighborhood Association. So they had let several of the members, like four in a row, beat up on you, and they put you as the last speaker of the night. And then when it got to your turn, they wouldn't let you speak.
I know it. Wasn't that something? I'll tell you. Yeah. They really planned that one out, didn't they? That was that was my night.
I called it the public comment session that was all about Bob Willoughby, because I thought, in my opinion, y'all, you know, Bob ain't that important, in my opinion, and I mean that in a respectful way, Bob, you know what I mean. They cannot turn the whole city council about Bob Willoughby and getting back at Bob Willoughby. So they're making Bob Willoughby like the topic of discussion, you know, the person that they got the bandana against. I mean, it's way too much for the city to be conducting business and targeting Bob Willoughby. You know, using public employees and time all to come for Bob Willoughby, because that particular night it seemed to be all about you, and Elizabeth Beck used her position. And she abused her position, in fact, in my opinion, when she got up and left the dais with 3 minutes left on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like, you know, who does that?
Yeah, okay. It was clearly planned out, clearly laid out. It was all strategized and laid out to the T. And but, yeah, who does that? That's right. And that's why we don't need people in offices doing that kind of stuff. So it's very important that we get people to get involved and start seeing that these are the people in charge of our city. Think about it for a minute, doing crap like this. So that's kind of it should be really concerning, you know,
that
they do stuff
it just
like this.
Me, you know, as just about before we went to air, and I thought about, you know, Elizabeth Beck is a city council person. Now she's up for re-election, but there's several things that she's done that are noticeable that, you know, you cannot deny there's a problem. And so the fact that she's being opposed by several people, I think, is a good thing, because I think Elizabeth Beck, obviously, as smart as she was, never thought that she had to go back up and ask the people for a vote again. Maybe she missed that part, you know, throughout the last 2 years when she has abused her authority and not taken care of the people, if that makes sense. Hemp Hill, you know, the way she talked to Thomas Troll and Cosby, we're going to get to that. But, yeah, go back to listening, Bob, but we just have to mention that. And we're going to bring you up again in a few minutes.
Okay.
So get
I'll
ready.
Put my phone on mute and listen in here, okay?
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold.
Sure thing.
So Christopher, were you watching that night when that happened?
I seen excerpts of it, and just like from the conversation, whatever I'll say, we just keep getting in. We just keep getting into the this I mean, we got police KGB. We got council turning into a kangaroo court. That's what that was. That's what I would call that. You know, they just basically, and it was scripted. Like you said, Gina Bivens is out there. So what she did is she spent time that she could have spent taking care of things in Echo Heights, taking care of things in Mosher Valley. She spent time going out there to scapegoat Bob Willoughby on a personal vendetta. And she brought him to stink. She brought, you know, it's disgusting.
Yeah, that was pretty sad. And that we witnessed, y'all, with our own eyes in it. And it really felt like the vendetta was so strong for Bob that they took a whole city council session to drag him and then wouldn't let him respond. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, where's the decorum? Where's the professionalism? We didn't see it that night. The next thing we're going to talk about, Elizabeth Beck, on is, you know, the little video that has gone viral with the little snippet of Elizabeth Beck talking about men have menstrual cycles. And she was on the diet that night. And what she was doing was voting for $80,000 a year to be put into the budget to deal with putting sanitary products for both men and women in the city buildings. Now, the question is, she was not clear, so I didn't know if she was saying, well, I don't know what she was saying. I'm not even going to try to figure out, are these going to go in the men and the ladies' restrooms, or is this just going to be in the ladies' restroom? And so do men go in the ladies' room? I'm not sure what she was saying. And I don't think anybody's clear right through here. But she allocated or voted to allocate $80,000 a year so that those feminine products could go in the bathrooms for both men and women. Do y'all remember that vote and how that went?
That was the second phase of this, because months before that, you know, it was when I first started getting into this and really watching the city council. I thought it was completely absurd, but I know that we had at least one whole city council meeting devoted to the first phase of that, was getting it in the women's restroom just as a courtesy for females. And I'm just like, where does this come from when we have, just like I said before with Bivens, when Gina Beck has issues, I mean, you hear the candidates out there, you hear the neighborhood associations out there, there's a library that they shut down, there's all kinds of things and we're going to spend all of an entire work set, no telling what they put staff through to freaking do all the calculations for that. It was dumb, and it was just beyond absurd.
I agree. Adrian, you agree?
Yes, I agree. I don't recall the particular council meeting that it occurred, but I mean, since it's trending, and like you say, everything is archived, you know, there's no way of getting away from it. So, like you said, we can't speak to her particular headspace, you know, only she can clarify what she meant. But hey, it didn't go over too well with people, and hey, he is one of the candidates that we are hoping to replace this coming election.
Yeah.
So
she might have to go.
And Carrie, real quick, I know we were talking. Mm-hmm. I just want to say it again to any Hanley Neighborhood Association members. My bad, my apologies. I'm mistaking you for the other neighborhood association. So my bad, we make mistakes on this show. So carry on. Thank
you. That was the John T. White Neighborhood Association, and not the Hanley Neighborhood Association. Listen, also, we can never forget how Elizabeth Beck told Thomas Torland Kazi, you get up here every week, we get it, it's your stick, you know, and you talk to us ad nauseam. I do not get it. These people talking to the constituents, the residents, the citizens of Fort Worth the way that they do. But you remember, y'all remember what she said? You know, we get it. It's your stick. You know, you talk to us. And she said, and I can speak for me and my colleagues. Remember?
Yeah. She was real, like, venomous. She had, like, the way she was doing it, how dare you? And she was just so, just this venomous, this nastiness, you know. It was there. Yes, I remember.
I will say this in my analysis of that too. I listened to Thomas Torlakowski's whole speech.
Mm-hmm.
That whole speech was because that happened. He had already spoke. He was like on a rampage that day. He came in there, and I think he was speaking. He was advocating for money for some things, and it was right when they started changing the rules and this and that and whatever. So he had signed up for several things. So he had spoke once or twice before that, or once before that. This was like his second time, and I'm just going to tell you what it comes on. If you listen to his speech, it was – I mean, this dude was a Toastmaster all-star. So he's not going to go and put his reputation – he was very rhetorically organized, and he was attacking the situation, points of argument, facts, everything supported. And all that he did was he just used an analogy of living in the police have too much power with, you know – so, you're going to have these flock cameras, and you're going to have these police officers using all of this technology, and when a woman wants to go to her birthing Lamaze class, I mean, he kind of threw a, like, and it just so happened that I think she was festered up because that was right around the same time that they had the abortion law passed to the 15 weeks. He was kind of playing to her, to that thing. He was saying, you know, now we're going to have the flock cameras enforcing the 15 weeks because, you know, and she didn't have a hook to get after him. I mean, he was pretty much giving her on her team with that. And she just, so what I suspect, the way that I felt about that whole outburst was, it was just like what it was with, Bob. I think that they have had conferences together before they come out on the dais and bring the meeting to order. I think that they get back there and they just every once in a while they just decide that they're gonna snipe somebody, you know.
And let me piggyback off of that. That particular night, I believe, was when Thomas spoke on every single agenda item. And the reason it was, I think Adrian and I and Thomas had all talked about the fact that is when they had changed it, where they were not going to read the description of the agenda items anymore. That was, I think, the first night that they started doing that or the second time that they had done it, where they were not going to read the agenda items anymore, the description of them. And so Thomas decided, okay, well, then I think the people need to know what each agenda item is. And so he was getting up on every time they called a new agenda item,
right.
He was getting describing what the particular item was about. And I think they became very annoyed with the fact
Carrie.
That he did that. Uh-huh.
Carrie. Breaking news. I just found it.
Mm-hmm.
I found the actual, while you were talking, I mean, while we were having it in mid-discussion, I found the actual, for anybody that's interested, if you want to know the space of Elizabeth's head, the part you just said about this is your stitch, it was the stitch or whatever, it was the June 28th, 2022 council meeting.
Okay.
At the 16-minute mark. At the 16-minute mark, this is when she's going in. She's about to go in on time.
Okay.
Yeah.
June 28th,
2022,
16-minute mark.
June 28th, 2022. Yep, this is when she's fit to go in. I get it. This is your stit, and she's fit to go in. I just paused it. But, yeah, she's
so,
coming
so
unraveled.
If y'all think we lying on Elizabeth, go back and see it for yourself. And we got to find the video where she broke quorum on Bob. That was important, too, for people to go actually and see Elizabeth Beck do something that would be unthinkable, to have 3 minutes
and
she left it.
And it's important to know to polish that one instance off, that one council meeting. As soon as she got done, Thomas was left up there, you know, and he couldn't respond. So he walked off, and she started in behind his back, and so he turned around and he came back to the thing, and he was basically like, and she told him pretty much, shut up, this is my turn. Now you're going to listen to me. And then when she got finished, Maddie Parker and Gina Bivens, both, they went tag team on him.
That's true. That's That's her. Y'all, that happened. That actually happened. And everybody needs to go back again, like Adrian said, with June 28, 2022, the 16-minute mark. Y'all, we're also going to talk about real quick. 16 minutes?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to move real quickly past this because we got some more to get to. The fact that, you know, the Hemp Hill Library or the library that serviced the Hemp Hill community was closed without notice. You know, the people came to the city council and they were complaining about it. And I believe that night she conveniently was not present. And we know the Hemp Hill community feels like they have been underserved by Elizabeth Beck. And then, last but not least, you know, on the dais, Elizabeth appears to have, as intelligent as she is, law degree, you know, or lawyer, licensed lawyer, she appears to have a very low attention span. The entire time she's up there, despite the fact her colleagues may be speaking or there may be a speaker on the floor, Elizabeth is constantly talking. She's talking or she's scrolling through her phone. And that is just like every single council meeting. So a lot is going on with this particular council person. And I definitely believe that she is going to be replaced come this election. Y'all agree with that?
Oh, for sure. I think people, you know, I think they tried to play, the redistricting tried to save her, but I don't think she's redeemable at all.
Yeah, she's got to go. You know, moving on to talk about Councilwoman Gina and Gina Bivens and Mayor Pro Tem, Councilwoman Gina Bivens. I am not picking on you. You know, we've been accused this week of picking on some people, but one thing you must say is we spread the picking out amongst the whole diet. We do not just pick on any one member. But, you know, you came up, so we're going to talk about the fact that I think you underestimated McKinley Jackson, and I think he's running an awesome campaign, especially on social media. And so I think she's taking a serious beating with that. I also think that Gina's now trying to get out in the community, but I think it may be a little late, you know, to get out and be doing the community meetings when the community is saying that Gina hasn't really been out there all along. Also,
10 years
her social
too late,
media.
Garrett. Yeah. 10 years too late. Yeah.
10 years too late. 10 years too late. Also, you know, the fact her social media team or whoever she has working for her is not really putting up any type of social media impressions or appearances at all for her. We know that Gina Bivens, we can't tell. I don't know. Did she get 4 POA donations this time? We know she's gotten them in the past. Up until about $85,000 or so, but did she get FOA? What were POA donations this time? Do we know?
I will go ahead. Can I explicate on that? Because I will tell you, and we're going to feed into this. We're going to feed into this dynamic later. But I will say specifically that I, from just looking at my analysis, is that the POA and a lot of the conservative PACs that. Or you won't just say partisan conservative, but a lot of the players in Fort Worth who were donating before with Maddie Parker, with seeing is that everybody who voted for the Civilian Oversight Committee, such as Meadows, he don't got a competitor, but Bivens, Jared Williams, and Beck, they all three voted for that. And that we're going to get into that later, but the POA – and whoever proxies the POA have really just gotten crazy the last couple of months because they want those people gone. Because
So the question was, did she get it? So you don't think she got it this time?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the POA is playing games anymore. They're worried. They're on the limb.
Okay.
I'm checking now.
Okay. And yeah, then we know that you found it?
No, I'm checking. Y'all can go ahead. I'm scrolling now.
And so we know that Gina failed to address Echo Heights. You know, in all the time that she's been in there, 10 years they've been struggling with problems, she failed to address Echo Heights and then move them over to the new District 11 to a brand-new council person and pass the problem on. We know that Mosier Valley vote for that new development. When the people – were not aware of it, nor did they want it, has caused all of Mosier Valley to turn on Gina Bivens, you know, which could hurt her. We know that a lot of the times, like when we spoke up, when she has acted as mayor pro tem, we saw another side of Gina Bivens that was not pretty, like the one we spoke of earlier when Bob, you know, was not allowed to speak at public comments with 3 minutes left in the session because the quorum was broke. That was when Gina Bivens was acting as mayor pro tem. We know that one of the times I remember they were in a public comment session, it was public comments, and Gina was mayor pro tem, and Bob said something. She says, you can't talk about that. And she shut off his mic, and it was a public comment night. And I remember Chris looking down at her like, oh, my God. You know, does she know this is public comments? But he didn't say anything, which he could have, but he did not. And we're going to ask Bob very quickly, Bob. You remember that, Bob, that night?
What's that?
You remember that night when they when it was a public comments night and Gina Bivens told you that you couldn't talk when it was about public comments and you're supposed to be able to talk about whatever you want to talk about?
I know there's something on there she stopped me on, and I thought that I was able to – the way it went, if I went back and watched it again, you'd almost say it was okay. But then again, she said, you're done. You can't. I don't know. There's been a few times she shut me down. But that, I remember she one night when she did really shut me down. And but in a way, I'd have to go back and get the wording again. It was like you can't do that. But you can go. It was like it was okay to go ahead and speak if I changed my – and then said, no, you're through. Or something like that. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. Was that short? That wasn't short, was it?
No, that was short. And I want to say, too, that one of the times they looked like she was calling the guards to come and get you. And you know, Bob is like, nobody that's going to put up a fight or anything like that. So I thought it was ugly to, like, have him thrown out. Remember that night that they moved in? They start moving in on Bob. And I think, Adrian, did you step in and say something when they were moving in on him?
He's always saying something. Every time they're doing something, Adrian, I'm afraid he's going to wind up in jail. He's back there yelling. Anytime they're doing anything, I just can't get him on the microphone. I think they turned it now so you can't hear, but he's back there going, hey, man, you can't be doing that crap here. So, anyway,
and
I was
thinking, Adrian, you can't
speak out. We need about 20 people. We need about 20 Adrians in there. And then they hear it.
I'll say one freaky dynamic going on that came up, and the Fort Worth Police Department, for the first time, it's the only time that I've ever known in that somebody's house gets riddled with automatic gunfire, with, you know, 50 rounds, and it shoots all through the house, that we don't get any media reporting for weeks. For weeks.
We covered it. I was going to give her a pass on that one because, you know, I saw her at that Meadowbrook Church event, and she said, hey, and by the way, I didn't shoot up McKinley Jackson's house. So she said it, you know, that's what she said.
Well, she might have had one of her neighbors.
You know what? And Bob, before I put you back on mute, it was funny because I said, McKinley Jackson, there's three people in the race, and your house got shut up. Who do you think did it? He said, I don't think Bob did it.
No, I didn't. I wanted to stay in. I called Melinda immediately and said, is he staying in? And I don't want him out. We need him in big time. I mean, what McKinley will pick up, there's people that won't vote for me or Gina. And they'll vote for him. They'll give him a third choice there, and that'll help put it into a runoff maybe if we can get close to it maybe. But I still think that, you know, chances are she'll probably still take it because we ain't got enough of the new pool of people out raked in enough new groups to change the scene. But we'll see. You know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, I think Kenley Jackson's ripping it up.
I hope so. He's got the little signs out everywhere, so he's got those out. But I think he made a mistake making them all orange. I didn't realize those are his signs. I thought they were Toby Jackson's signs running for school board. Because her name's Jackson, you know? His name's Jackson. Her name's Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, she's got some blue in her sign.
He's a pastor of a pretty prominent church in that neighborhood and historical, and he's got degrees, and he's been to – he does a lot of community events, so he has grassroots support. you know.
Well, that's good. I hope he's got some in there. But the problem is he's never been to a freaking council meeting. He's never been to a bond meeting. He's never been to a budget meeting. That's great
right,
working out in the neighborhood. But if you don't know what's going on downtown, he doesn't know who the bad people or the good people, any of that. You know, he's never been downtown. And that's where
just
the work is.
Swinging.
So.
Let me ask you one more question, Bob, before we put you back up here. Tell us your theory on why you believe that it's always good to have more people. The more people in the race, the better it is. And why do you feel that? Explain that.
Well, that's what I just said just then about McKinley Jackson being in. If it was just me and Gina, those people don't like me. There's a, you know, we have another category of people that don't like me or her. There's some I heard don't like me or her. They just wouldn't vote. You put McKinley in, they'll vote. That
I'm
puts more votes into it.
No, I'm talking about how you say about that person not getting 50% of the vote.
Well, that's what I mean. By putting that in, it makes it harder for her to get 50% because that's why so many ran offs last time because they had so many people in each district. It broke it down. It was hard for anybody to get 50% when they had all those 10 people running. So it breaks it on down. It makes it harder. With McKinley in, it makes it harder for her to get 50%. It makes it a little bit harder, and that's what happened, how she got in by a third party, just like this same situation almost. I'm not going to say I'm strong enough to be that, but between her and Frank Moss, there was one other person running. He only got about 350 votes, but it was just enough to go into a runoff. Now, if he wouldn't have been running, Frank Moss would have won, and Gina wouldn't be. We wouldn't know Gina Bibbins today, okay? But that one person at 350 votes made a difference.
The thing I like about that runoff thing scenario is I'm pretty much shooting for that runoff now because of what we're going to talk about in this show, because we still need to vet these people, everybody out there. So what I say is the runoff is a legitimate political process. This thing that we got going on with the general, with the way that the media sponsors these forums where it's just powder puff, you know, no hardball. But I know whenever it comes down to a runoff and it's one-on-one, that can turn into a cage fight. You get two people in there somebody gets stuck in the turnbuckle and takes it like Rocky.
That's great. Okay, Bob, we're going to put you back on mute. Listen, this Pamela Bogus, we're going to move on talking about Pamela Bogus, who's running in District 9. Listen, we know that she is a former DA. She's a local attorney. We know that she's endorsed by the Fort Worth POA because we saw the video. We know that she is also endorsed by the Fort Worth Excellence PAC. And she's a Republican, even though this is a nonpartisan race. We also know that her opponents are Elizabeth Beck, or two of her opponents are, you know, at least Jason Pena and Elizabeth Beck, who we believe will probably be the three front runners, maybe Bogus, Beck, and Pena. And we know that she's formed alliances with Dela Cruz over in 6 and Maddie Parker, who's running for mayor. So what's shocking about Bogus is all this money that she's showing on her 8-day financial report. And by the way, Pamela Bogus, I know you got it in there late, but girl, they got it posted. So you may have dropped it off at 5 o'clock, but they posted it, girl. So listen, we going in tonight to talk about just how much money you got on your 8-day before election campaign report. The numbers, does anybody have the numbers in front of them that can kind of tell us where Bogus is?
Listen, y'all, let me get us off a crazy trail here, because I've done the research and everything. Bogus did have a lot of donations from some downtown folks, you know. The thing is, though, we got to be careful here, because when we're talking about the Excellence pack, that was in-kind donations. That was non-monetary in-kind donations. And my research, what happened was this Fort Worth Excellence PAC was originally formed up, ramped up, and incorporated in the middle of March. So what are we talking about? A little over a month ago. This Excellency Committee was born out of the thin blue, and they came in to Bodges's campaign, and pretty much, you know, we hadn't been hearing nothing out of her, right?
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't been hearing nothing out of her. Well, when I looked at the financials and stuff, it's all, they didn't donate any monetary. So there's no, like, there's no way to go down and say, hey, she bought, paid for, quid pro quo. What happened is what I'm seeing happen with this scenario is that whoever is running this Fort Worth Excellence Pack out of the blue, they came in and they just basically took over the whole campaign. They did opposition research. If you look at the itemized expenditures, there's 4,000, 8,000, 4,000, 3,000, 500. There's a lot of things, but it's very well. Whoever Excellence is, they know their business.
That's not the only pack that's showing though. And
no,
so
not for her. I know. But what I'm saying is that's the.
I mean,
that's
so why
the,
we?
How,
no, no.
Yeah.
So I'm asking why are we singling out, excluding one particular being cautious? Why are we being cautious of one particular political pack is what I'm want to know, because no
I'm just
packs.
Trying to be careful. I'm just trying to be careful. I know that Pamela Bodges, she's up there around 100,000+. I don't know.
No,
she got a lot.
No,
what's
no.
the caution?
No, no.
What's the caution?
No,
what's the
no,
caution for?
Let's call it what it is. She has $176,040.98 in total political contributions. Her total political expenditures is $38,426.22. Her total political contributions maintained as of the last day of reporting is $7,713.95. So in terms of, let's be clear, and we're not picking on no PACs, so that's not what we're doing. We're talking about the opponent and the money that she has, where the money's coming from, and the fact that when you look at this, it doesn't matter if you got it in dollars and cents or somebody paid for your flyers and your T-shirts and your signs, because Adrian could use somebody.
Yeah.
Let me finish, Chris, hold up. Adrian could use somebody to come in right now and pay for a whole bunch of T-shirts and a whole bunch of signs and a whole bunch of flyers. You see what I'm saying? So you're wrong. Keep interrupting me now. It's not right to say that she didn't have that's still financing. Whether you got it in dollars and cents or you got it in signs and T-shirts and door knockers. Am I right, Adrian?
I agree. I agree 100%.
Okay, then that's all I'm saying. So the question is, where did the money come from, and what are you promising the PACs for these donations? Because $176,000 for an unknown candidate is a whole bunch of money. And I know she got some other donations from other people, but where did you get the bulk of the money from?
And all I was asking is what are we cautioning from? We're trying to get the right representation in them for the whole of Fort Worth, you know, for the betterment of all, you know, especially the ones who've been going without because of these same political pansies that keep getting elected. So I just wanted to know what the caution was for, because shit, they put themselves on the line. You know what I'm saying?
It is what it is. It's still, and that's it's still a big question mark. The only reason I was cautious is I didn't want us to go down and sit there and say that it was money. It was.
If somebody told Adrian told Adrian today, I'm going to buy $150,000 worth of T-shirt signs and door knockers, that's just as good to him as money. Because that's what he needs.
I agree.
What's the difference?
Exactly.
Am I right, Adrian?
And I think we all three had an understanding that we were talking about money, period. We were talking about campaign contributions, period. It wasn't regardless if you had $3 from a pack and $200,000 from money, to, you know,
how you explain, right,
Chris. So we talking about every dollar. How does it look? How does it look to the voters? How does it?
Dollar value,
yeah.
And you
got to.
No, go ahead, Adrian.
You know what I'm saying? Are y'all, are these candidates thinking about themselves, and are they really trying to get in and serve the people, or are they trying to get in and serve themselves and the individuals who are who got the puppet strings on them? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's where I was getting to with this. What I will say is Pamela Bodges, we didn't talk about this early on. It was also a really crazy macabre dynamic because Pamela Bodges wasn't even on the map. Taylor Mondick was out there trying to be the spearhead for downtown and love and trying to get love from everybody. Well, all of a sudden, Pamela Bodges, the one who lost, she lost the judge's race before, all of a sudden he taps out and then he starts pumping his fist for her, doing a whole lot of work, donating to her, putting all of his effort into her, and then it still wasn't really getting off the ground. What I'm saying is the last two, three weeks, this pack, this is what I'm saying, the last 2 or 3 weeks, this pack was formed in the middle of March, and now 2 weeks after it was formed, all of a sudden we get Pamela Bodges and Maddie Parker and De La Cruz. All of a sudden, you look at their 8-day financial statements, which was in less than a month ago, everything that came up within the 30 days to the last 8 days. Now, all of a sudden, you have exactly what you're saying. It just appeared, the appearance to me is that this PAC came in for whatever purpose that they have and told these campaigns that we're hijacking your campaign because we want to dump the incumbents.
No, wait a minute, Chris, hold up. That's alleged, right? Because we're talking about attorneys here. That's alleged. You don't know what the nature of the conversation with these people in the pack was, right? So that's alleged, right?
Oh yeah, no.
Okay, that's alleged.
That might have been the plan the whole time, because like I said, we had
possibly.
It's just too crazy.
Maybe.
It's too crazy.
But what we got to be clear on, because Chris kind of threw us to the tailspin with what I was saying. We're looking at the financial reports, which are recorded with the city secretary's office. And this was recorded at 5-something today. And so, you know, the city closed at 5, y'all. So she dropped it in there right at closing time. And it says on the financial report that her total political contributions was $176,000, $40.98. So that says that everything that they use in terms of maybe the videos or the T-shirts or the door knockers or the signs, that still counted as money, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there we have it. So, yeah, that's her total contribution, y'all. That's a whole lot of money for an unknown somebody to come up at the last minute and do that kind of damage.
3 weeks.
So it sounds like, in my opinion, somebody wants backup out of there, and they're helping Bogus so that she can unseat her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seems. Y'all agree with that?
100%.
Okay. So, all right, yeah. So we got
I will say about the ex. I've done some research. I haven't seen documentation, but the reports are that's absolutely related to Tim O'Hare. I mean, I'm not calling that nefarious or anything. This is the way the business is, and this is what we got to change. You know, all of this under the radar, it's just crazy, you know.
Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you like this. Let me be clear on what I'm saying about a PAC tonight for anybody who says, well, you know, cares it or not. Let me be clear because I want y'all to quote me right. I don't have a problem with a PAC unless – the PAC is wanting you to do something that you were not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if the PAC and you are in agreement with what they want you to do, then it's okay. So if a PAC comes to me today and say, Kerry, we want you to run for office, and I say, well, I tell you what, let me tell you my platform. These are the principles that I stand on. These are the things that I want to get accomplished. Now, if the PAC doesn't agree with that and wants me to do something else, then Kerry will probably walk out of the door. So the question is, did the PAC and these people come into a 100% agreement that what they wanted from the candidate and what the candidate was planning to do when they got in office is the same thing. Because if it's not, then you cannot tell me that you aligned yourself and allowed somebody to buy your T-shirts, your signs, do your videos, do your door knockers, and y'all ain't in agreement. That makes sense?
Agreed.
Okay.
That's square.
Okay, that's square. Any of these candidates who are taking these donations and then trying to privately distance themselves from the PAC cannot be trusted, because I'm not dumb enough, and I don't think anybody listening tonight is, to think that you can get over $100,000 from somebody and you didn't come into agreement with them before they gave you the money or gave you the product or did the service for you. Do y'all agree with that?
Agreed.
You got to shake hands with – you're shaking hands with somebody.
You're kissing a ring.
You're shaking.
Yeah. Yeah. So that segues up. Over
Gary, breaking news. To the greatest host this side of Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, Kerry Hines. Let's Talk Fort Worth to the listeners, to the faithful listeners. I have the video. Public comments for all of those who are interested in the discussion we were having at the beginning of the show regarding Elizabeth Breck being petty. It is the October 18th, okay. October 18th, 2022 council meeting.
When they broke the quorum, y'all. Oh my God, we got receipts
tonight, baby.
Yeah. We're bringing it. Oh my
October
God,
18, 2022.
And that
yes,
was a
ma'am.
Public comment. That wasn't an. Yeah, that was just a public comment. Now,
public comment.
Because it was just public comment. Whoa, we're going to slice that video up for you, people. Believe that one. Thank you, Adrian.
Lord, y'all, we're breaking news.
So, y'all, we're going to segue over to another candidate who is pretty new on the scene and making quite a splash, and that would be Atalia Dela Cruz in 6. Now, I'm going to say this about Atalia. Because I think it's the flip-flopping that I'm concerned about. About a month ago, and I never told anybody this, about a month ago, if not longer, Dela Cruz had on her page that she was pro-police. Because I considered her someone who maybe didn't know, I called her. And I said, can I tell you that you're not going to get any black votes with the word pro-police on your page? And she said, but Kerry, I am pro-police. And I said, let me tell you what that means to black people. And I began to explain to Dela Cruz that that means that you'll take POA donations, that you'll take POA campaign funding. And I told her that, or endorsements and campaign funding. And I told her that pretty much that aligns with those who probably will never see a need for a civilian review board. And I told her it also aligns with the thinking of a militarized police force would be okay. So she says, I never thought about it like that, And so she took it down. So I thought, okay, so maybe something I said stuck. So then I told her, I said, I hear, this was a couple of weeks later, I said, I hear that you're part of a PAC. She said, that's a lie, started by Bud Kennedy with the Star Telegram. I'm not a part of any PAC. And those are words Dela Cruz said to me. And she also said that to someone else. I just won't bring the other person into it. So she distanced herself from the PAC. Okay, so that's it. It's not looking that way. It's not looking like that's the truth. We see that the POA did a video for her. So we know now that, she's very much aligning herself with the Fort Worth Police Department. And then we see that she's gotten some very serious contributions. Dela Cruz turned in some reports what was it, the 30-day report, Adrian, is pretty much unreadable or understandable?
The first one was the 30-day report. The 30-day report, April 6, 2023, and then she had two corrections, one on April 10, 2023, and another one on April
19,
2023.
Yeah. A lot going on with that. So we don't understand where that's going. Seriously. Yeah. And so we see that on her 8-day report, which was also filed today, y'all, pretty late in the afternoon, that she has had $133,469.01 in total political contributions. We see that her total political expenditures was $2,271.38. But we see that her total political contributions maintained as of the last day of reporting is $1,911.23. So that said, where'd you get all the money from? And for somebody who's not aligning themselves with the PAC, and who called Bud Kennedy a lie and told me that she didn't know why everybody was spreading these lies. So that speaks to honesty, integrity, character, a whole bunch of stuff. Because I'm like this, y'all. Let me tell you about my character. Whatever I say behind your back, I'll say it to your face. Because I stand on being someone, if I say it or do it, I am somebody who will stand on it. That's why I'm very careful about the moves I make. And so I'm just trying to understand, why did Dela Cruz distance herself from the PAC privately, but everything that we're seeing on paper says otherwise?
Right.
Any answers?
I'm going to play, I don't know. I don't know all the details because I know there's a lot more history that I know. I know that Italia has been involved in Monday, was involved in Monday's representative campaign. Then there was, okay. I mean, I've heard that there has been a schism there somewhat. I don't know the dynamics of it, details. It don't matter to me. That's people's business. However, what I will say is, for me, it's like what we start, the theme of this whole, this is the rookie mistakes. So I would just throw it out there that we need to give some credit, not credibility, but some credit to, you know, when you start dealing with these, because I can just imagine that if you're sitting out there and you're in the spirit of grassroots and you're really committed to it, and then somehow you wind up somebody crossing your path, you know how the devil is, right?
Let's stop. Yeah. I'm just saying that I need to call her. First of all, Dela Cruz, we're live on the air. So the number to call in is, if you're listening via the internet, the number's on the screen. And she said, nothing but lies. Call me so I can clear things up. Unbelievable. Now, see, that's unbelievable. I mean, that does not line up with, like, logic. Because what is the lies about when your financial says what it says? I mean, don't call us lies. Nothing but lies. Oh, she's gonna call in, but I mean, don't do that. Because we bring in receipts tonight, by the way, y'all. We ain't saying nothing that we can't prove. And so don't do that. Don't say that people are lying on you unless you can say where this money came from. Am I right, y'all? I mean, that's like ludicrous to do that.
I got the receipt that clarifies that Tim O'Hare is directly related to the Fort Worth Excellence PAC.
That's cool. I think more or less, Chris, we're trying to put these candidates in front of the people, because so the people can know what these who they're voting for. So when she calls in, she, like you say, Kara said, she got the, she gonna let her flow. We're gonna let her flow. Just and hey,
I agree.
But I don't want anybody to think, oh, okay, you know, she must going to say something that's different than what we can prove. The information is online for anybody to see. So anything that we're saying tonight is not something, we're not quoting numbers off the top of our head yet. And so if we are saying anything that anybody can say we're lying about, we want you to call in tonight. If anything, if we have misquoted one word about anybody tonight, I stand on record. Check me on the show. Don't wait until we get off the show and say, Carrie, you misquoted me. No, call in 515-605-9321. Being press 1 once connected.
And that goes for Bivens and Parker and everybody else we're talking about.
That part. Because, see, there was a lady from one of those packs. Was very disrespectful to me on the Let's Talk Fort Worth page this week, or was it last week? I guess the week's confused, but it was either the end of last week or the early part of this week, where she was telling me that I said something to, this is the exact quote, y'all. It said something to the effect that will an endorsement from Tim O'Hare give Dela Cruz's campaign a boost? And this lady comes for me and says, you know what, I don't know who you are, why you're spreading lies and this, that, and the other. She has no connection to Tim O'Hare, and I'm working with her camp, and this, you know, and she's just going down. And so I inboxed Dela Cruz, and I said, who is this woman, and will you get her off of me, because I'm about to go ziggity boom on her, accusing me of, you know, saying stuff that wasn't true. And so all Dela Cruz's response was, maybe, Carrie, you should have said something to me before you posted it, which to me, I take it that you are in alignment with what the person is saying. So you all just said the pack looked like it's connected to Tim O'Hare. But she completely distanced herself from Tim O'Hare and said that she was not connected to Tim O'Hare.
I want to understand what the fear factor is about Tim O'Hare. I understand that there's some history way back in there and that everything, but it's thinking, but ain't nobody on this show scapegoating him, Tim O'Hare. We're critical. We are critical thinkers. We take facts and we draw reasonable inferences from the facts. If people can't deal with the inferences, then they need to come on and clarify.
You know what?
Is she allowed yet?
Say what? No. And this is the thing. That's what I'm saying. No, she hasn't. And the thing is, I don't think anything's wrong with a Tim O'Hare endorsement myself. That's how crazy I'm thinking. Like, what's the problem? So I don't know what that's about. But, you know, she's clearly distanced herself from Tim O'Hare. So I don't know. But it is what it is. So
can I? Yeah. Let me get 1 second. 10 seconds. 10 seconds. I'm going to say that there's a fear factor out there, because I think I know what happened with Natalia Dela Cruz when all of this broke. She had a person named Chris Rector and some other agents out there that are just fringe people that have a history of coming in during election time and creating chaos so some things were stated and that kind of threw things into chaos and some personal things, you know, some pretty sensitive things, and it just created chaos. And so what everybody's worried about now is trying to tack on this there's a canon of thought out there that's trying to assign everybody that's their opponent as a Christian white nationalist. And I'm like, I saw this stuff and I see it, and it's just rabble-rousing nonsense, you know? If you got the facts, you got the facts, but you can't make stereotypes and generalizations about where somebody goes to church. I'm not defending whatever.
And it sounds like somebody, if you're listening, Ms. Cruz, maybe somebody told you to stand down, but you, like you said, you're welcome to, we're here to have a discussion. So if you don't want to come on, then hey, we'll leave it where it is. And let the contention, which,
and Chris, if you want to dial her up on your phone, please do. But I stand by everything I said. And because
we pride ourselves on this show. This is open record. We are on this show. This is open record. And we need to move on because there's more feature to this story with this excellence pack, because this same excellence pack that we're talking about with Bajis and De La Cruz has all of a sudden, the breaking news yesterday seemed to be putting some mess out there on Jared, which it's on public record too. Yeah.
She gonna got us there. Chris, you
and I'm like, listen, gotcha. Listen, this shit is going to get to a point on time, believe that. So I'm just gonna say to De La Cruz, character is important. Honesty is important. And you cannot say that everybody's lying on you when where to get all the money from. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You got to be part of a pack in order for them. You don't have that kind of money. And so to say that everybody's lying about the pack part is just ridiculous. And I think what I've seen De La Cruz do, which I think is to her disadvantage, is she has not done any black forum. And I think it's impossible for you to win this seat without some black folks. And so I think whatever or whoever has ill-advised her and Navarez to stay away from black forums because, you know, black people, you know, have already made up their mind, that's pretty small-minded, to be honest with you. Yeah. And so I think that will hurt because Hispanics typically do not vote like other groups. And that's just a record. And so the Fort Worth POA video that featured Pamela Bogus running in 9, De La Cruz in District 6, and Manny Parker was like, I'm sorry, somebody wasn't thinking. I'm just saying, somebody wasn't thinking. And so, you know, you all are lining yourselves up with the pro-police agenda thing, and that's just, to me, in order to be a good candidate, you have to be straight down the middle. And you've got to be able to be approachable and be able to communicate with all groups. And you got to be comfortable doing that. And if anybody makes you think that you're not going to need one group or the other, that they are tricking you. So I'm just wondering, like, what's really going on? Yeah. This pack was just started. Who is the pack and really what's going on? But, you know, I'm just going to go for the record. If Tim O'Hare was endorsing me, I would be okay with that. But obviously somebody has got to
And Carrie, I want people need to be clear that, you know, who we elect, they have an effect on our livelihoods with the decisions they make down there. Although the people we elect as our council representatives for our district, you know, they only had one vote, so more or less. But the council representatives are the ones who make things move in your count, in your district, in your particular district, when things come up on the dais, you know. Right. And I recognize this. The other council members won't go against the council member who's representing that district. If that council member in that district said, "Hey, XYZ, now I don't think this is good for my constituents," nobody on that dais is going to go against that person because that's that person's district. From what I've observed, they normally, you know, back up whatever that person is going to do. So when it comes to our livelihoods, I want somebody that's going to make the best decisions for the district, and then we can deal with them as a whole when it comes to, you know, stuff that's going to affect us as a city, like that debacle that we got still currently going on. But so people need to be mindful of that. Yeah, it's just not the seat and the candidates. If you're listening, any candidates out there, it's just not about the seat and the position. We're talking about people's livelihoods. You know what I'm saying? So I would want to do unto others as I would want done unto me. And I wouldn't want nobody dictate to me whose livelihoods. I'm sure if they put money into a PAC, pooling money together basically to support somebody, I guarantee you those people who are behind it, their livelihoods are not affected, won't be affected by the decisions you have to make for your constituents.
And I would go ahead and issue this warning. If you ain't known about Let's Talk Fort Worth, it's something new on the scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about is that, you know, if you're going to get on this money, if you're going to come into this thing on the money train, like what Adrian was saying, if you're going to let somebody toggle you as a public servant, let it be the people and not the money pirates. You know, You got the people that voted for you should be the one toggling you. It shouldn't be the people putting money in your pockets.
Let me say this, and we're going to move on. By the way, Dela Cruz is a former teacher and small business owner. But let me say this. Any candidate who believes that you can basically run a silent campaign and get in there based on connections and PACs, that somebody's fooling you. These people going to need to hear your voice. They're going to need to hear you tell them how you're going to fix these problems in their district, and it's just very unlikely that they're going to vote for you if they haven't seen you, talked to you, heard you, and feel that you can connect with them. That's just how I see that. I'm not going to vote for anybody who I have not talked to or felt at least they had some solutions to what was going on with my district. Now, Adrian, I disagree with one thing you said. You said that nobody disagrees with anybody else on the dais. And that segues us into the next person, our next candidate, and that's Jared Williams. We've seen Maddie Parker change Jared's mind several times about things he was ready to do in his district. And then Maddie Parker looks down at him and says, well, in essence, Jared, you don't mean to do that, do you? You really wanted to do such and such, right? And then Jared said, you know what, Madam Mayor, you're right. I think we're going to do this. And I'm not picking on Jared, by the way. Listen, it is what it is. Jared, we're going down your street tonight because it's breaking news, and we talk about breaking news and hot topics. That's just what we do. We know Jared Williams has been on the dais since May of 2021. He's a preacher's son, husband, father, new father. We understand he has 3 degrees. That said, we were told that he and his wife own Blackland and Meadows Consulting Firm. And what we're being told is that in July of 2021, that Jared took campaign donations from his campaign and paid Blackland and Meadows Consulting for consulting work. Well, that goes against the rules. Can anybody pull up those rules so anybody is clear about what that's about? So he did that. And I think where he made his mistake at was telling the media that he has a consulting team that consults for him, consults with him about, I guess, I don't know what they're consulting about. Don't even start me lying. But that said, if you paid yourself, meaning your consulting firm, $11,000, why would you be paying another consulting firm $250 a month? So, I mean, even though you say it, it doesn't make sense. I'm just going to say for somebody with a doctor's degree, that doesn't make sense that you would pay someone else when you're a consulting firm.
And here's the other crazy thing that I looked up on the back as I was researching that, looking for that specific entries in his finances. I saw there was some other crazy stuff too. He says that he's paying $11,000. And he's got his own political consulting company with him and his wife that does voter outreach and political consulting. That was how it was itemized, right? However, I see all kinds of expenditures going to – there's a company called Campaign Consulting Solutions or something like that, and it's in Rancho Mirage, California. You know, this is what we get into. With this soft money, when these guys get these campaigns and it does this and it just really needs to be looked into because it's crazy, it's disgusting.
Wait a minute, he said his consulting firm does voter outreach and what?
Voter outreach was and political consulting is what it was itemized as. Those different there were two different itemizations for what he spent money on for Blackwater and Meadows. So it says political consulting and voter outreach. But there was also voter outreach. He's been paying several political consultant companies. So who
knows? Let me be clear. Is it Blackwater or Blackland and Meadows?
Blackland and Meadows.
Okay, you just called it Blackwater, but okay. So it's Blackland and Meadows.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mr. Williams, I don't know. You probably should have consulted an attorney before you made a statement to the newspaper, but just to those of us who don't have 3 degrees, it doesn't look right at all.
Mm-hmm. It's against the rules. I looked at the rules and the rules.
Can y'all find those rules so we can read the rules?
I can't.
Yeah.
I know the language of the rules, but I don't know the actual code reference. But I know one of them pretty much states almost explicitly that you cannot take campaign donations, monetary campaign donations.
What's wrong with your volume?
I'm sorry, paying donations to pay
it's still low.
A company. Oh, I don't know. My total. What's up? I think my phone's getting goofy. You hearing me now?
It kind of went in and out, but okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can't pay yourself contribute campaign contributions. You can't pay yourself for any services. You can't pay a business that's owned by you, your spouse, or your dependent children. You can pay your brother, your sister, anybody else, but you cannot pay your own household out of your campaign donations.
Wow. Now, this is the question, y'all. This is the million-dollar question. And, Adrian, please find that rule. The million-dollar question is, if this happened in July of 2021, who knew to look for it? Who knew where to go find it? And was he set up? And don't get me wrong, Garrett Williams, if you did that, then, you know, it wasn't a very smart thing to do. So, but did somebody give you the money and tell you it was okay to, even though you should have known the rules, don't get me wrong, but was he set up? That's just my question. What was he set up? Who knew about the contributions? Who knew about his private company, which, you know, doesn't appear to have his name attached to it in any way? And who knew to where to go look for it? And who knew that he took it and put it in his account? Because FYI,
very
something
deceptive.
That makes me say it. Huh?
It all seems too deceptive.
Okay. Right. Yeah, it just seems like it was just way too put together. You know, it was just, you know what I mean? It just seems like this whole thing makes me nervous. I don't know why I'm stuttering tonight. It just seems like, you know, and I'm a pretty
It seemed like somebody was waiting. For the right time to it's like they've been watching certain candidates and how they doing things and making decisions, and I guess somebody's waiting for the right time just to, you know, they knew this moment was coming, and it's just like somebody waiting for the right time to get it, put the information out.
Right.
I would like to know when that actually. I'm gonna look it up, but I'm gonna find this on the back channel. I should have thought of it earlier. What I'm going to look up when we get off the show tonight, we'll post it on the Let's Talk Fort Worth page later. I'm going to find out when exactly that whole political consulting firm was formed. You know what I'm saying? When did they become political consultants?
What I want to know is, was this $11,000 a single payment from someone to the campaign, and did he take that $11,000 straight from the campaign after they gave the contribution and take it straight to his bank account? Because it almost seems like it was set up.
I can confirm that. I can confirm that because I skimmed through all of his campaign donations, and I don't think he has any campaign donations over $5,000 from anybody.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Unless it's scattered around somewhere. But
how did someone know then he took $11,000? It just seems very, very suspect, y'all. And so this is my thing. So I would say to any council person who cannot afford to work for $25,000 a year, get off the diet now. It ain't worth going to jail for. It really ain't. Mm-mm. So, you know, rather than if $25,000 plus your regular job does not pay your expenses, your household expenses or whatever else you need to do, it's just not worth it. And so did those people on the dais really need those $50,000 raises and $70,000 raises that they were trying to get in that vote? But if so, if you needed it that bad, then you knew you needed it when you took the job. So why go and ask for a job that you know is not going to pay you what you need to pay your bills? Does it make sense?
Well, can we throw it out there, the timing of this, what I was talking about earlier, here's another lesson to learn. When you vote in Fort Worth for police accountability,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna come back and hit you. If you can't keep your nose clean, you know, with whatever you're doing, this is how politics works. You come into this scene, they always the people that are in there. This is how I see it played out. As I've said over and over again, I've seen Jared Williams evolve into something that I never would have expected, because I've seen him some high points. And it just seems like from about 6 months ago, as soon as this stuff, as soon as Beck, and as soon as it got really, as soon as things, after about a year of this council being seated, everything just went into chaos and it got really toxic. That's when they started sniping public speakers and, you know, just voting without and becoming completely oblivious to the people. And so what I sit there and say is, I think the big pivotal thing in the political picture was the votes for accountability, the votes for that civilian oversight committee. The people who voted for that are public enemy number one for the crony Confederacy downtown. They're coming after y'all.
Wow. You know, another thing is Jerry bragged about being the youngest councilman in Fort Worth history. Did that work against him? Because even though as intelligent as he appears to be, was he too naive for the position? You know, because maybe with all the temptations, he just wasn't mature enough to deal with it. I don't know. But that's just a question that I would think. And do you believe that he knew and understood what he was doing when he did it? You know, just something to think about. And should there be some stricter? I'm sorry.
He might have had a mentor whenever he find, you know, because this didn't start until after he was already sworn in, and you know, it could just possibly be that he was sworn in, and then he had some mentor that says, "Let me show you the ropes about this money you got hanging around in your campaign funds." You know, try this, try that, because when you look, yeah. The GB.
Yeah, she say wrong. Hey, for everybody, wrong is wrong and right is right. So
right, mm-hmm. True that.
A lot of people feel like he was mentored by Roman Romero. Just I don't know.
Yeah.
He was a state representative. I don't know if that's true, but a lot of people seem to believe that.
But.
So that's just something to think about. And you know, Atalia De La Cruz, who we just talked about, is his opponent. And she is the one that released this on one of her flyers. So how did De La Cruz come about this information?
Excellent. In Fort Worth. Straight up.
I'm just saying.
They
and
did,
so,
there was a, there
you
was
know,
an
here's
item
De La Cruz. Say what?
There was an itemized payment. There was an itemized in-kind donation on De La Cruz's thing for opposition research. Opponent, and it was like, I don't know, a few thousand dollars. So what they did was they paid somebody to filter let's just hope her and let's just see what goes on whenever Jared taps out and it becomes Tanya Carter and De La Cruz in a runoff.
I'm trying to say, and this is a strange thing. Jared is the incumbent in District 6, and it appears that his total political contributions was $23,358. And we know Dela Cruz is, I think, what, 133 or something? Let me go up here. Dela Cruz is 133. So did he underestimate his opponent and just not even go after the donations because he didn't think it was a serious race that he had to run? And is it too late?
I think somebody gave him a golden egg and he was sitting on that golden egg, but he didn't know it was a grenade. He took a grenade.
You think?
He took a grenade whenever he played that move, that was a grenade. Because I know that there's many people on that council that do dirty. Way dirty than what Jared is getting called out for. Way much more, a whole lot more money. And just like what you exposed about taking donations and then issuing city contracts, there's all kinds of ethical stuff up there. And if you look at Gina Bivison's campaign filings, that shit is chicken scratch. There's a lot of them that are chicken scratch, but hers is just off the chain. She's got if you got campaign donation contributions and you're campaigning to run, it's for your political campaign. How the hell are you campaigning flying to California, Kansas City, San Antonio, Atlanta, Georgia, and a few other places out of town, out of state, three states, five states away? What's happening? How is travel to those states helping you get elected in District 5 in Fort Worth, Texas?
That's a good question. Bob has a question for y'all. Bob, your phone line is back open.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that, this is interesting that this race, because I think Jarrett and Beck are both maybe on their way out, but the ones coming in are maybe even worse. They'll be POA people.
Don't worry, Bob. We're going to give them hell, Bob. We're going to give them hell.
Well, I don't like what I've got, and I don't like what I've got coming in, but you know what I'd like is to take a page from Lake Worth and other places and look at turning the city. But first, we got to have people in office before you can even. No, we don't. We got to get people to group together and go down and demand it. But I'd like to see us maybe go with campaign contribution limits. That would take all this crap out of there. And from experience, $20,000 is more enough for any candidate running for council to do it. If they can't do it, they don't need to be in that seat. They don't know how to manage money. $20,000 is plenty, and $150,000 for the mayor is plenty. That will clip the wings of the POA and the Basses and all of them, you know? So that's what I'd like to see put in.
The funny thing is, the numbers we're talking about today, I saw an article that came out, and I think Maddie Parker and Michael Crane ain't even got no opponent, and he was right behind Maddie Parker for campaign donations.
Wow. That's just corrupt. But anyway, it is what it is. So, Bob, you see a problem with all this money?
Definitely. You watch and see what happens. I didn't think Jared or Beck would be removed, but now I'm hearing y'all talk about the money these people are getting behind them, and then I see the POA supporting them. Yeah, the one that's going to be kind of a challenge will be Rick Harrington, and who's he running against? I don't know. There's going to be a race there.
His name is Rick Harrington
and Jennifer Martinez, whatever. She's got
Martinez,
the POA.
Jeanette Martinez and Rick Harrington.
There you go.
Jeanette Martinez got the endorsement from the POA in that district.
Yeah, but Harrington's got the money coming from the establishment people, more or less. I've seen his donations,
he's
too.
On the board. Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's going to be a bit of a battle there. And the other ones, I think, I'm surprised, but I think Beck and Jared's days are numbered. I think they're numbered because they've seen how stupid they are, and the people that are controlling this city don't want them in there. And they're putting in some professional people in there so that when I go in front of the camera, they're going to be able to answer me, make me look like an idiot. I don't like that. I want to keep the idiots in. At least I can chase them around. You know?
Wow.
I'm going to keep – I don't know. It's bad.
Yeah, it's really bad. And election day is going to be very interesting. It really is because
I think we got – I think we did get – I'm sorry. I think we got some grace in this. Go ahead.
Some of these people that we never thought could possibly be unseated are looking very vulnerable right through here. Just that part.
Yeah. Hey, look here, Gary, look here.
Mm-hmm.
See, for all of you newly, you candidates that's new to this process, I'm not new to it. I did it back in 2021. But for all you candidates that's new to this process, y'all got to realize one thing. I'm going to let them know, the Star Telegram don't give two damns about y'all. Y'all can interview with them and make them think. They make y'all think, make y'all feel good, like they want to endorse somebody. But the Star Telegram only looks out for the incumbents. And the Star Telegram are even throwing Jared under the bus. The Star Telegram review of those minutes shows Williams was late or absent 12 times. So they helping this pack so there you go. Y'all think we just out here just ranting and raving? No, we're not out here ranting and raving. We got a purpose to what we're doing.
Now go back to Jared. They said he was late how many times and he was absent for how many votes?
Here you go. A Star Telegram review of those minutes shows Williams was late or absent 12 times or roughly 17% of the time and attended virtually 10 times, roughly 14% of the time. Let me see. Yeah, so it says, okay. Okay, yeah. That's the Star Telegram giving ammunition to the Star Telegram giving not investigating. They being dirty and they giving ammunition to this pack. That's what they doing.
Yep. That's exactly what's going on. So Jared's definitely in the hot seat. Without a doubt, he's in the hot seat. And y'all listen. We're gonna dedicate the last 30 minutes to Madam Mayor. Because there's a whole lot going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you know is that the mayor is saying that crime is down 13%. I would say to you, Maddie, listen, if this is 13% down, I don't know what the hell we was doing before it got 13%, before the 13% went down. Because, you know, if we're just paying attention to the news and reading the newspaper, it's a shooting or a killing every single day almost. And so it is even, you know, spreading out to where our kids are at school. And so I don't know what data crime records y'all are watching or but something's off. We don't see the 13%. And we just feel like that's an election year ploy. But, yeah, you're not believable when you say crime is down 13%. You are the chief. We don't see that. And we know that the mayor got served a cease and desist letter earlier this week from Peyton Jackson. It was sent to her via email, and it was sent certified mail. And the cease and desist letter basically dealt with the fact that the mayor, according to Peyton Jackson, said some things on the dais that were not true about her, which has defamed her character and caused pain and suffering and probably financial losses. And so due to that, she sent her a cease and desist letter. We also know that a bar complaint may be looming against Madam Mayor because what's her name? Her name is Maddie Jean Percy Parker, according to her law license, is a licensed lawyer here in Texas. And so the things that she did on the dais, when Peyton presents those videos to the Texas bar, Maddie Parker may be in for a reprimand or possibly worse. We also saw that she did the video with Atalia Dela Cruz, Pamela Bogus, and herself for the Fort Worth POA. You know, so when a mayor does a Fort Worth POA video, it almost says that every vote that is going to be pertaining to the police, you're going to vote for the police, right or wrong. And it also seems to say that a citizens review board, an independent citizens review board, will probably never happen under your administration. It also says that we know a lot of people get confused with defunding the police, but it also says, in essence, you are okay with a militarized police force and that you are okay with footwear POA endorsements and campaign funding. So that's interesting. And we know, according to someone who was in a recent Republican Party meeting, that it was stated that the Republican Party said stand down where Maddie Parker was concerned. So that says that you don't have your party support anymore. And that's probably because I believe when Betsy Price was running for Tarrant County Judge, you distanced yourself from your party, you know, by saying that people should not vote along party lines after Tim O'Hare won, that they should really pretty much vote their conviction. So I guess you distanced yourself. Wait, come on, Chris. So you voted against your party. Were you you distanced yourself from your party? So now your party is distancing themselves from you. And with the fact that you did the video with the Fort Worth POA and you aligned yourself with Dela Cruz, who's Jared's opponent, and Pamela Bogus, who is Elizabeth Beck's opponent, were you really distancing yourself from Jared Williams and Elizabeth Beck because you felt like they were not going to make it back? So we've also seen that Madam Mayor is doing a lot of photo ops with black people. That's not right. We see you, and we know this, that, and that's not pretty. We also know that you're taking a beating on social media. And we also notice that you just don't have the endorsements this time that you've had before. I'm sure you went after them, but for whatever reason, they did not come back this time. So with that said, the mayor's made some mistakes this time, and they may cost her this election. Do y'all agree?
And as far as the distancing, you know what, you just said something that stands out to me. Mm-hmm. About that video. Now, you said the video was POA sponsored, right? It's POA sponsored.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So who is it?
Fort Worth Excellence.
What's name?
Huh?
Fort Worth Excellence. The same pack with Bodges and Italia.
Her aligning herself with Bogus and Dela Cruz, are you trying to get back in good with the people that the side that you kind of distance yourself from? No, not kind of. Are you trying to get back in good with the side you distance yourself from when your mentor lost? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it looks. And you see how they play. You wanna.
Sure.
If you're gonna be Parker, I love it. Shout out to Paige Jackson. Shout out to Paige. If you're gonna be Parker, Maddie, Mayor, whatever they call you, if you're gonna be that, you gotta be that. You can't
money
hey,
bag.
Yeah. If you're gonna be that, if you're gonna be this, I'm gonna distance myself. We need to do things according to conviction, and let's don't do this party. You know, let's don't vote party. Be that. You know what I'm saying? See, she's a user. She's a user. That's straight up. She's a user. You're just a user, Matt. You're a user. You're a user. And you know, hey, it is what it is. You put yourself in that space.
Even worse than that, when you consider that there's a bar, when we hear that there's a bar complaint looming, and you read the Texas disciplinary rules of professional conduct, which governs attorney discipline, rule number 8.04, you know. It's the same thing. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness, right? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if you ain't got no integrity, you ain't got no place being a mayor or a leader. And that goes for, and that's what we run into with Neil Noakes, with Matty Parker, and everybody else on the dice. If you ain't got the integrity and the candor and the human decency to listen to people and serve people, then oh man, all they seem to know how to do is just like what we said about David Cook, is fucking get drunk and shoot craps with the people's money. And I'm tired of it.
Whose words were those, Chris? Chris, whose words were those?
I got you your first shot. Wow.
When I first heard Adrian say that on the dais, I was watching online and at my mouth dropped. I go, oh my God, did Adrian just say that? And Adrian, when you said that about Mr. Cook, how did he look when you said that?
He pepped up, like he really pepped up, like he was like, what the?
Did he just say that?
And then I realized when she gave me my warrant, and when I looked up, I said, damn it. I said, I didn't think about it, because I told Chris, I told you. No, I'm going to say it just, Chris said, you can put your little thing to it. I said, no, Chris, I'm going to just say it just like it. I didn't tell you, I never did read it, Chris. I just said, okay. Yeah. It's all good.
Somebody's holding this thing wrong. This video, this is the Fort Worth Police Officers
Association. Listen.
Correction. That is not the Fort Worth Excellence Report, Fort Worth Excellence Pact. That's the Fort Worth POA that did the video with the three ladies. I thought I had that right.
Chris, you said it was
the Fort Worth Excellence Pact. That's not true. That's the Fort Worth POA stamp on that video.
I know that that's on Bodges' video only, not on POA is only on Bodges. That was a clip.
That don't make sense. The video starts off with their logo on there.
What I'm telling you is I know for a fact is that the Fort Worth Excellence Committee drove that video.
But it's got, okay. So
that's how it works in Fort Worth. There's proxies. The Bass family has three backs. The Fort Worth POA is aligned with Fort Worth Excellence.
Okay.
Bam.
Well,
that's how
it just
disgusting
seems like,
it is.
Okay. But if you get on a video, that's why you have to be careful about getting on videos, y'all, and you're not knowing what the context of the video is. If you get on a video and the first thing you see is the person standing there and the watermark that says Fort Worth Police Officers Association,
mm-hmm.
to me that says
mm-hmm.
everything in the video is connected to that.
I agree.
I'm just saying. Yeah, we're gonna try to call Del Cruz. Wait a minute, and we will see if Dela Cruz answers, but you know, she said to call her, so here we go. And we shall see. Okay. Hold on one second, and we're going to try.
Dela
Cruz, we're going to call you. And we shall see if she wants to talk to us. Because she says she can't call in, and we know there's been phone issues. So we'll
you there, Kerry?
I'm still here, Chris. You're probably still trying to get on.
Yeah.
Okay, so we didn't lie to Del Cruz. So we tried calling her because she sent me a message saying, it's all lies. Da, da, da. Can you call me, Kerry? I can't get in. And then we call her, and then she doesn't take the call. So it is what
She gonna have to go and spend that one, pay that 1 cent. You can get in. Just call direct. You can get in. You gonna pay that 1 cent a minute.
We don't think you were going to be there that long anyway. Yeah, so listen. So don't nobody leave this show talking about, and they said all that about Dela Cruz, and they didn't give, she said she was trying to call in, and they didn't, okay.
Well, listen.
We bumped that.
I'm just going to put it out there, the vibe that I get, I got my hands on the pulse. I got my finger on the pulse of this thing, okay?
Mm.
Who was in that video? Who was in that video with Natalya De La Cruz?
Bogus and Maddie Parker.
Okay. We don't know nada about Bogus, except she's an attorney and a nobody, and she lost the race already for judgeship. But who – so I'm just saying. It's sort of the same rap. We're getting sort of the same rap that we get from Maddie Parker and Neil Noakes, you know? I just throwing
I know,
it out there.
I know,
as
know,
far
please,
as
please,
that
but
gaslight,
people in the back of the room, please tell us.
You're
going to
gaslight people. Gaslighting people.
Who's gaslighting?
I'm not talking about you. I'm saying that we're getting the same thing out of her that we get out of Maddie Parker from the dais.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
You get confronted about facts. And they may be confusing facts that need clarity, but if you ain't willing to have the conversation and listen to understand and have a dialogue, then, I mean, what can you do for the community?
She's up in Jared tonight. I'm just saying. It looks like, you know how they say Jared is against the ropes? Yeah.
All I'm saying is that it plays out like this. That her saving, I mean, maybe desperation came in, so she got herself up with those other three. The Maddie Parker and the Bodges and the pack thing came into play. Okay, fine. But what I see is that was a mistake, and all you got to do is own it, wipe your feet, and move on. But if you're just gonna keep on marching to that cadence and stepping in it, nobody can help you. You know,
well,
this is a political support group.
I know this, that Tanya Carter, who is also running in District 6, has the Facebook page Como Action News today. And we understand, according to Tanya Carter, that Dela Cruz talked on one of her threads and was like, "Where's Jared?" And so, Dela Cruz, tonight, I'm going to say, "Where's Dela Cruz?" So,
yeah,
I'm not being ugly, but I'm just saying, y'all, that's just what that is. And so, I'm not picking on anybody. And if anybody goes back and just listen to some of the archives, y'all, we don't pick on anybody individually. We just tell the story. We're not making up the news. We're reporting the news, and we just kind of tell you what we think about it. But we're not picking on anybody. I don't have any problems with whoever those PACs were, because I feel like whoever signed on with the PAC, they had to have a conversation before they did it, because nobody's going to make me believe that a PAC is going to give you $100,000+ unless y'all are in agreement and on one accord. That just doesn't happen.
And what I can say is that this thing that we got with these candidates, they've been getting softball. This word platform, if you want to get into it, it's awesome, because it's for gladiators, because, you know, you may get on. This is the turnbuckle of truth. You know, we ain't gonna attack you personally. All we're gonna do is come with the receipts, and we're just gonna follow current events. We're gonna ask the hardball questions. But this ain't Sesame Street like the Larry O'Neill show, and this ain't the Fort Worth Report where we play Powder Puff Forum. This is the media for the people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is the media
and
because we ain't got nothing else going for the people in Fort Worth right now.
Carrie, Carrie, it's mm-hmm. grateful. It's grateful that. It's grateful that. It's grateful that. This Cruz is grateful you're listening, because if you are elected the next council representative for District 6, know that we not Fort Worth. I'm sorry, I like Carrie can speak for us there, but the Let's Talk Fort Worth is not like the Star Telegram or any of these other media outlets. Mm-hmm. We're gonna stay on you. Good or bad. You're gonna be part of it. Everybody's gonna be part of the discussion. So. Mm-hmm. You put yourself in this
exactly.
position. I put myself in this position knowing what could happen or what couldn't. Listen, come on. Let's have a conversation. That's all we want to do, have a conversation. But anybody who aligns himself with a political pack, to me, this is me personally. This is my own stand. If they support, listen, no. Because like you said, they're not going to do nothing without your approval. Anyone who aligns himself, huh?
No, I was agreeing with you. I said, no, they're not.
Oh,
they're
not going to do nothing without you, because it's your campaign. It's your campaign. You're the face of the campaign. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do nothing without your approval. So anyone who aligns themselves with a political pact, you've aligned yourself against the constituents. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. If you align yourself with a political pact, you align yourself against the constituents.
Adrian, real quick, let me tell you, because I'm not good with it, but you seem to be good with it. There's one thing that's been dinging in my mind. What I want you to do, real quick, if you can, is get on there and see what Maddie Parker's last 8 days expenditure was, and see if the excellence, if that excellence pack is on her, is in her files, on her
that's
last
good.
8 days.
Absolutely. And y'all, let's talk about why Adrian's looking at. Let's talk about all the candidates that are taking POA donations. That's Fort Worth police officer. Fort Worth Police Officers Association. So that's what the Fort Worth POA stands for. So we know Maddie Parker, the mayor, is taking donations from them. $10,000 we know early on. We know Charles Laudador, who's running in four against Teresa Ramirez, I think the name is, Gonzalez Ramirez. Let me look at her name, because I don't like quoting people's name wrong. Teresa is running against Laudador. Teresa's last name is Ramirez Gonzalez. It is. And so Laudador, which we have seen very little of, he's taking a POA donation. We know Dela Cruz in six is taking – well, I'm sorry, she's not taking their endorsement. I'm sorry, she's taking their endorsement. We do not know of her taking – I'm sorry.
No.
She's taking their endorsement. She's taking their endorsement. Macy Hill in seven – we know that she took Fort Worth POA money. Pamela Bogus, did she take the endorsement or did she take the money? We know she took the endorsement.
I think I have to look. I can't confirm, but I know
I think
she took the endorsement.
I think she took the endorsement. We know Alan Blaylock.
She took the badge.
Being endorsed by them. And we know Janet Ramirez. Blaylock is running in 10, and Janet Ramirez is running in 11. So we know that the Fort Worth POA is endorsing Maddie Parker, Charles Laudador. Laudador? Yeah. Lowersdorf. Okay.
Yeah, and
he's in four. Dela Cruz is in District 6. Macy Hill is in District 7. Pamela Bogus is in District 9. Alan Blaylock is in District 10. And Jeanette Martinez is in District 11. And all of those are being endorsed by the Fort Worth POA.
Let me back you up on what you was talking about earlier real quick about the Republican Party dumping kind of like kicking Maddie Parker off the wagon, right? What I've seen the last couple of days, precinct, you know, the webpage, precinct chairmen for Republican Party,
mm-hmm.
right? I know that you had some contacts that aren't going to be communicated, but I have some contacts, and I've seen some things, and I looked at a couple of the precinct chairmen, and they finally today they posted their endorsement. So there must have been a meeting just within the last few days where all of the Republican Party got together and said thumbs down on Maddie Parker. Because I have seen two or three of the precinct chairmen go ahead and issue their individual endorsements for Jennifer Castillo. And the funny thing is, too, they went with Maddie. The way that it lines up, generally, the trend that I'm seeing among all the Republican Party establishment people, mm-hmm. is it's going to be Jennifer Castillo. It's going to be Bodges for nine. They're pushing Bodges for nine. And so there's a little bit of a different thing there going on, and they aren't endorsing, the Republicans aren't endorsing anybody in 11. The Republican establishment is endorsing Italia De La Cruz for six, but in 11 they're not endorsing anybody, and I think there's a couple of them that aren't endorsing anybody in nine either. It's weird. So Jeanette Martinez, she's getting the endorsement from the POA, but she ain't getting the endorsement from the Republican Party. It's just weird. It's crazy.
Wow.
Fort Worth is.
Agent, did you find it?
Fort Worth.
Huh?
Did you find it?
Hello.
Hey, did you find it?
I'm hearing some music in the background. Has somebody got some music going on?
I don't.
Oh. I heard some music.
Okay.
I like some classical
asking,
music or something.
That's got to be Chris. So, Adrian, did you find what Chris is asking you to find about the last 8 days?
I'm just looking at the political contributions. What's the name of that, Pat?
The Texas Excellence.
You got to scroll down to the in-kind contribution, not the monetary contribution.
What's the name
it's
of the? What's the name
Fort
of the?
Worth, Fort Worth Excellence.
Fort
Worth
Excellence.
Excellence.
Okay. You said not the monetary, right?
Not the monetary. It's going to be the non-monetary in-kind donations.
And y'all listen for Adrian's looking this up. You know, I've gotten some flack this week about, you know, what are we doing, and you know, why are we, you know, talking about this person or that person. FYI, for anybody who is like in the back of the room confused or, you know, about what this show does, Let's Talk Fort Worth is a talk show, which means we take hot topics and we start conversations about them. But while we're doing that, we ain't making it up. We're reporting the news. We engage people in conversation about hot topics. So we are not Star Telegram and we're not WFAA. That's not what we do. But what we do is we take stories. A lot of times we're breaking them. And we're putting the hot topic out there, and then we're telling you what we think about it. So anybody who's confused about, you know, y'all did this, that's what we do. We start conversation. That's what talk shows do. And so when you see what we do on Facebook, you know, It's a bigger version of what we do on Friday nights. We're talking about hot topics. So don't get us confused with, you know, some of the other stuff you see going on out there, because we're doing what we do, which is unique to other outlets. But Adrian, did you find it?
No, it's nothing. It's only non-monetary. It's only no. You don't. It's nothing from a pet.
Okay.
That's weird. I don't know. That's weird because
maybe the forward PO just
figured it out
on that ad or that commercial. Well, listen, y'all. Thank you, y'all, for tuning in tonight. This is what we do each and every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker, tell a church member about the show. We're the quietest, as we call it, we're the quietest kept secret in Fort Worth. We're absolutely the quietest kept secret in Fort Worth. So tell somebody about the show. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. We only do this show once a week, but we're on Facebook every day, posting something about what's going on right here in the city. Listen, if you have a news tip, please drop us a line at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. That's letstalkfortworth@aol.com. If you have a product, a service, a business, or a nonprofit that you need to get the word out about, because ask me anything right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Our email address is letstalkfortworth@aol.com. That's letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Also, if you like what we do here on Let's Talk Fort Worth, consider donating to the show because what we want to do is take this show on the road. We enjoy doing what we do every Friday night, but we'd also like to get out into the community and take the show out on the road. So listen, if you like what we do, if you appreciate the work that we do, if what we do has helped you in some way or the other, consider donating to the show. Again, you can drop us a line at letstalkfortworth@aol.com, and our cash app is $letstalkfortworth. Also, y'all, Election Day is May 6th. Take at least five people, you know, to the polls. Because we have the opportunity to change things downtown if we just get out and vote. And last but not least, keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. That's every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m., except the upcoming Friday night. This Friday night, this upcoming Friday night, we will not be live because that will be May 6th and Election Day. I'm sorry, that will be May 5th. Next Friday is May 5th, and Election Day is May 6th. So rather than do two shows back-to-back, we're going to opt on skipping out on next Friday, and just doing next Saturday, election night, as the results come in. So we're going to be here May 6th from 7:30 to 9:30. So we're going to give the polls time to close, and then we're going to chime in at about 7:30 and go from about 7:30 to 9:30 calling the races. So until next week, not Friday, but Saturday at 7:30 and going to 9:30, we'll see you then. Good night.